Forecast for today, we are looking at mostly sunny conditions, and we'll have a high in the low 80s, about 81 degrees or so. Forecast details are coming up a little bit later on, the complete forecast going into the next several days, and it looks like we might get a little bit of rain. We'll see how that all plays out. Temperature-wise, we go to Kenosha, start things out. Right now, at this hour, it is 62 degrees, 65 in Burlington, 68 Milwaukee, 64 at this hour in Racine. The Racine County District Attorney's Office charging 17-year-old Rytrell Earl with being a party to first-degree intentional homicide. In addition, there are four counts of attempted homicide. This is in reference to the near-midnight Sunday shooting death of a 20-year-old man whom police say was the innocent victim of a gang dispute. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
According to court documents, Deshaun Jordan and four others had been at a fish fry and were walking down an alley in the area of 16th Street and Phillips Avenue when a car drove up and the occupants opened fire. Jordan was shot in the head and died of his injuries. Another man was grazed by bullets. Investigators allege Earl is a member of a Northside gang and shot at the men in the alley, which is considered rival gang territory. The victim was not a member of any gang, according to police. Based on the description of the car, police arrested Earl at a home on Memorial Drive. Earl is scheduled to return to court August 24th for a preliminary hearing on the charges. As they do for all violent deaths in Racine, the Interfaith Coalition will hold a prayer vigil Sunday evening for homicide victim Deshaun Jordan. The vigil, led by the Reverend Tony Larson, will begin at 6 p.m. in the alley south of 16th Street between Phillips and Murray Avenues. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
The teenager accused of murdering 17-year-old Olivia McKay last month appeared in Kenosha Circuit Court to face the charge of first-degree intentional homicide. 19-year-old Daniel Tate accused of killing McKay, then with the help of another teen, dumping her body along a Mount Pleasant roadway. According to court documents, Tate and Jamari Cook met McKay through Facebook, made arrangements with her to pick them up at Tate's grandmother's home on Sheridan Road. The teens drove around, then walked along the lakefront. Cook telling investigators Tate had grabbed the victim in a chokehold and then held her underwater. However, investigators indicate that it was Tate giving them different stories in their interviews with him. And eventually they came up with video that proved that both Tate and Cook had driven up in the victim's car to the All Saints Medical Complex. So Tate was ordered held on $1 million bond by Kenosha Circuit Court Commissioner David Berman.
Given Mr. Tate's track record of not showing up for court appearances, it gives me even more concern that unless there is an appropriate cash bond, that Mr. Tate would flee the jurisdiction.
A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for next week. Agents from the Racine County Metro Drug Unit on Tuesday of this week executed four narcotics-related search warrants at a residence in the city of Racine and took six people into custody, all in connection with a drug trafficking organization. A Sheriff's Department news release indicates that a DTO is defined as a group of at least five or more people whose principal activity is to generate income or assets through illegal drug distribution, and it has a defined leader. Agents, according to the release, made about 30 controlled purchases of heroin from the alleged members of the group. Three of the suspects were not located during the search. They are still being sought at this particular time. Meanwhile, Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling is going to be holding a news conference reference this situation a little bit later this morning. The former Western Publishing Company building at 5945 Erie Street in Caledonia, again a concern for neighbors who expressed a collective something needs to be done sentiment to the village board this week. Former village president Susan Greenfield noting past interest by developers just never blossomed. Now the site has gotten worse, so in her words, it's time to take it down. John DeMoya has lived in the area for 39 years, recalled confronting four young men vandalizing the building with no concern about his being present.
From that point on, I quit getting involved because these kids are not, you know, they're gangsters is what they are. You know, I mean, this isn't a kid you can talk to, and he hasn't been disciplined his whole life. Obviously, somebody didn't do the right job. But it gets a little tiring. And the walkers that come down there, I walk that area all the time. I witnessed many times kids coming out of that building, backpacks on their back, all hooded up and stuff, and walking down the road.
Administrator Tom Christensen indicated the first action is to board up the building and get in contact with the owner. Village President Bob Bradley told the audience, "I guarantee you this will become a priority." Back in September of 2015, when problems were also expressed and a committee assigned to keep tabs on the building, Bradley was quoted as saying, "If it's not a good building, then it needs to be torn down." The Kenosha City Plan Commission tomorrow will be considering plans for a third proposed boutique hotel in downtown. Paul Campagna owns three restaurants, has purchased the building at 614 56th Street with plans for a six-room hotel on the second floor with a lower-level ultra-lounge banquet facility and bar for up to 120 people and a first-floor full-service bar and restaurant. There's also a 3,000-square-foot rooftop terrace with outdoor seating and a 1,500-square-foot mezzanine with a small bar and restaurant area. This is right next door to the Chase Bank building, where another larger boutique hotel has been proposed. And, of course, work is already underway on renovating the former Heritage House, which is also being converted into a boutique hotel. Racine's Plan Commission will meet at 4:30 this afternoon in council chambers at City Hall. On the agenda, among other things, a public hearing on the request of Giving to the Nations for a conditional use permit to establish a food pantry and to allow community outreach programs at 1701 12th Street. That's the one-time site of the J&W drive-in. A request from Target Corporation to exceed the city of Racine's quota on Class A liquor licenses to sell alcohol at the Durant Avenue store east of Regency Mall, rejected by the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. Nobody from the company showed up at the meeting, though Assistant City Attorney Nu Tran explained she did talk on the phone with a company representative, explaining the information provided does not meet all the city's criteria to exceed the license quota.
I explained to them the factors that are laid out in the ordinance that I have emailed to the committee members. And I did email a copy of the documentation that was provided by Target at the last meeting to the committee members. I reviewed the documents and did not see anything in there that would prove that they were able to meet the third and the fourth factors that are laid out in the ordinance for exceeding the quota.
She also noted that Target could try again. The unanimous recommendation goes to the council for a final vote next week. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee rejects the request of Al Herman, who lives in the 1900 block of Prospect Street, and was asking for that street light that he had removed from the area a few years back, or at least it was removed. It was one of hundreds on the We Energies poles the city had removed. He wanted it back. DPW Commissioner Mark Yellen noted other street lights are on in that block. It would cost about $800 or so to return that one light. Herman suggesting the light taken out has translated into the opportunity for kids to cause problems, including vandalism.
It seems like every time that I'm out of town, we just have a problem with kids that are destructive. And once that light was out of there, it's nothing to show any, you know, where they are anymore. It's completely dark.
Alderman John Tate II felt that city policy should be reviewed instead of piecemeal consideration of lights. Alderman Sandy Winder says it's not always about policy, noting individual requests of citizens are important.
And this is no different when I championed to have a light reinstalled right on the corner where you live, Alderman Tate, around that alley, because that alley really is your front yard, and two lights were taken out in air, and I fought for 6 months to get a light installed there. Didn't win the day either, but I still feel it was necessary, just like I feel it's necessary for Mr. Herman to have a light put back on Prospect Street.
The 2-1 committee recommendation to receive and file the requested return of the street light now goes to the full council next week. Last night, the Racine County Board formally accepted that $6.5 million donation from S.E. Johnson to build the new aquatic center at Pritchard Park. Supervisor Q.A. Shakur calling it an outstanding donation from a great corporate citizen.
Without a doubt, this will, of course, enhance and improve the quality of life, and also as far as health and welfare. So we are just ecstatic about this, and this will be expanding and just growing the community, and this is just a great, great thing. We're just so appreciative of this.
It's expected work on the new S.C. Johnson Community Sports Complex, including two pools, water slides, and other amenities, will begin later this year. And take note that a film crew is going to be seeking okay from the Racine Board of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services later today to film some scenes for an upcoming HGTV show at North Beach. Magilla Entertainment wants to use the beach to shoot the scenes for the show Lakefront Bargain Hunt Renovation. It's a house hunting style show with a lakefront theme. According to an email, the filming would involve a family enjoying North Beach, the decision scene, with a couple discussing the house that they're considering. The producer indicates North Beach would remain open to the public during the filming. A tentative schedule would call for using the park this weekend. The Park and Rec Board meeting will begin at 5:15 p.m. That's in room 130 of the City Hall Annex. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section. and throughout the day at WRJN News. We'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.